welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I need to offer just a general apology to anyone who's ever listened to this podcast, because my podcast, I don't listen to my own podcast, like, I do enough saying it out loud, but my podcast accidentally came on at the end of another one in my car, and the other one is, I think, the volume's a little low on their podcast, and, yeah, girl came in real hot. I did not know how loud that hello can be if you happen to be listening to something that had a volume turned up much higher before it. I apologize if that has ever happened to you. It is a bit frightening, especially when it's your own voice. Really makes you come to terms with how you sound. Anyway, apologize if that's ever happened to you. But this week, we are doing a Churros Hotline episode, which I am beyond thrilled about. And also, this week is the beginning of our partnership between Very Amusing and MEI Travel, Mouseman Travel. I am so thrilled about this. And I'm not even like supposed to, you're not supposed to like talk about ad stuff in the intro of your podcast, but long story short, my friend Jeffrey, who you know, friend of the pod, friend of me in real life, Jeffrey introduced me to Becky, who runs MEI Travel, who is incredible. I met Becky at Jeffrey's birthday a couple years ago. We've hung out since. I just think she's like the smartest business person I've ever met in my whole life. And I'm thrilled and flattered and honored that we get to work together. You'll hear more about that in the commercial break. But I just had to publicly thank Jeffrey for making this podcast friendship happen, and a lot of my friendships. I love you, Jeffrey. We hung out last night. It was the best. Anyway, this week we have churros. And if you are listening to this in real time when it comes out, I am currently at Disneyland. Oh no, I'm not inside your phone yapping at you about churro skulls. I am at Disneyland. I'm going for 2 nights. I never do this. I never go for like a midweek little jaunt. But as part of this partnership, I'm going to Disneyland. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to spend the night there, because there's always stuff I want to do when I like can't get there early enough and can't stay there late enough because of, you know, having a kid. You got to stick to those schedules. You got to stick to those bedtimes. So I am thrilled. If you don't already, follow me on social media. I will be posting throughout my trip. And I think that's it. We have a ton of great churros calls. I'm so glad we were able to do this episode, because there were a lot that were being held because there was like the cruise and the trip and all this other stuff. And this week we get to tackle them. Oh, also, let me know, did I sound different? Did I sound a little different in this intro? Because I made the very very intense decision to officially switch to a standing desk. And I couldn't commit because I have like this big old wooden desk. I couldn't commit to getting a new desk. So I got a riser. I got this thing that you put on your desk to make it stand. And I am recording the podcast standing now, which is really exciting, because I used to have to like sit and crouch over. And like, I was like too scared to like hit my rings on the table. Like I just would basically be in this like hermit crab kind of like turtly position while recording. And now I get my full lung capacity. So if it's a little louder and a little more energetic, that's what's happening. Stick around. Again, you get to hear a fun new bit about a partnership in the first ad break. And otherwise, that's all. Okay, I'll see you on the other side. Bye. Big news, party people. I am officially launching a long-term partnership with MEI Travel and its specialty division, Mouseman Travel. I'm obsessed with making sure you have the best theme park vacation possible, and so are they. Mouseman Travel, a division of MEI Travel, specializes in all things Disney, Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, all of it. And MEI Travel can help curate vacations with all major cruise lines and vacation destinations around the globe. Mouseman Travel is a no-fee Disney earmarked agency, which means they will handle booking your entire trip, no matter where you go, no matter what you want to do. They will help you plan it absolutely for free. For free! There really is no disadvantage to working with these expert vacation planners. Did you know they have a hotline where if something goes wrong and you're traveling, you'll have someone to call? Or that if you book a Disneyland or Disney World vacation and your room drops in price, they will get you money back? Travel agents are amazing! Disney World just announced some incredible promotions for 2025. You can save up to $200 per night with a room and ticket package, and up to 25% off hotel rooms on select nights through April. Which means it's the perfect time to reach out to Mouseman Travel for a free quote on your future trip. If you want to take advantage of having a new vacation booking bestie, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I am so excited about all of these calls. We're going to get right into it, but I do just want to give a thank you up top to everyone who called in. We couldn't play every single call on the show, but I want you to know I listened to every single one and I am so appreciative. The person who called in about training for a 5K while listening, you know I don't understand running while listening to a podcast. Running so hard. I need like the most up-tempo music. I don't know how you all do it. If you're running while listening to this, wow, I'm impressed. I want to thank Alex from Fort Worth, who needed help planning a trip to Disneyland with babies, and then immediately my episode came out like magic. That was pretty cool. And a bunch of other people who called with hacks and tips and tricks and things like that. We will be tackling a bunch of those in the second half of the episode, but I just wanted to let you know that I thank you and I appreciate you all for calling in and sending in calls. You're all the best. I have the best listeners in the whole wide world. I know that is a fact. And I can't wait to answer some of your questions and your comments and your concerns. So let's get into it. And thank you for calling. Let's get to the calls.
Hi, Carly. This is McKenna Young. It is D23 weekend, and we obviously have more important things to discuss than this. But I just had a light bulb moment, thought that I needed to share. We've been talking a lot about lobbies and hotels in general recently, and I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think that a lot of the ones that we were discussing are newer build hotels like Riviera and Swan Reserve and Grandesino, ones like that. And I think that a lot of lobbies nowadays are smaller because the check-in process has been so streamlined that a lot of times you don't need to go up to a desk. You don't need to look a person in the eye before going to your room. Like, you don't need to step into the lobby at all. Unless you are dropping your bag at Bell Services and heading to the parks or the pool or Disney Springs. But what you're not doing, usually, is hanging out in the lobby that much. So I think that now, Disney and, you know, theme park hotel companies have realized this and are making the lobby smaller so that they can use extra space to build more rooms that they can sell and, you know, make more money from. That was just a thought that I had. What do you think? Do you think that could be right? I think that could be right. I don't know. I guess there's, you know, is actually a large lobby. It's just one of the more cursed ones. But anyway, that's a thought on that. I also don't like Riviera lobby, but love everything else about the resort. Personally, I hate the Riviera lobby smell. We should do an episode where we talk about lobbies and things like that and hotel smells and talk about smells. I love Disney Resort smells and hotel smells in general. Riviera is the only one I can think of off the top of my head that I absolutely hate. Okay, thanks. Anyway, bye. Have a good day.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, and I feel dumb as rocks because I technically am a travel reporter. Like, I've written some intense business stories, and I never put it together like, oh, yeah, they don't need as many people waiting in line because of all the online tools we have now. That makes so much sense. However, I'm not giving Riviera any passes for their lobby. Their lobby just has this weird vibe. It's just like, okay, I think the issue for me is that I demand a lobby that explains to me how I can proceed into the hotel. I kind of think of it like a video game. It's like I am entering the space and then I need to know, like, left is restaurant, corner is elevator, straight ahead is ballroom. Like, I need to have some sort of wayfinding that I'm able to do once I enter this building. And Riviera is not like that. You walk in and you're like, wait, what? I'm up, but then I got to go down to go out there. But then there's a storm, which I'm distracted by. But then where's all the desks? And then where's the elevator? The elevator, like, it couldn't be less clear where the elevator is, I think, because they're like, Skyliner this way. I just think the lobby of that hotel in particular is very, very confusing because my mom got lost in it. So I stand behind it, but you are definitely right with the smaller lobby. It makes a lot of sense. And it's a bummer because even in, like, I don't know. You all know I love a luxury hotel. If I wasn't so obsessed with theme parks, I would be like on the luxury hotel beat every day because I'm obsessed with the details of them. But even like some historic, beautiful luxury hotels that I've just walked into while I'm in like London or Paris, because I'm like, I gotta see this hotel. I gotta see it. I'm expecting a grand lobby, and I'm not getting them all the time. A lot of times they're small. I just love a grand lobby. I'm biased towards a grand lobby. And even though this is a newer build, I think like the tower at Coronado Springs, the Grand Casino Tower, I think that lobby does it. That feels grand. I walk in, I kind of know you go left or right or down the stairs. Like that makes a little more sense to me. The Riviera lobby, I don't really like. And speaking of smells, I didn't clock the smell last time. I have to clock it, but I'm forever in a way going to be a Grand Floridian lobby smell girly, which I've realized I don't think I know what the scent is. Like, I always thought it was lilies, but I don't think it's lilies. I should do like two more Googles, but I kind of live in this space where I think it's lilies and it's not, but I continue to tell myself that so that when I buy lilies for $5.99 at Trader Joe's and I put them in my house, I'm like, it smells like the Grand Floridian, and I refuse to undo that. So listen, that's just how I'm living my life. Thank you for your call. This is so smart. I'm sorry it took me a minute to get back to you, but yeah. Wow, lobbies are going to keep shrinking, which is a bummer for me, but oh, one day we'll get a grand one. Oh, I wonder what the new Polynesian TVC tower will be like. Ooh, okay, I'll keep my eyes peeled for a grand lobby. You know what I mean? Like Animal Kingdom Lodge, grand lobby. Beautiful. I want that moment where you're like, oh, you're just being enveloped by it. Okay, I'll let you go. I'll stop talking about lobbies, but if you have a favorite lobby, feel free to call in. Okay, bye.
Hey, Carly, this is Gabby from Virginia. Quick question about your Gideon's cookies. Back in June, I brought extra Gideon's cookies home, of course, as one does. I broke them into pieces, put them in the freezer, but how do you eat them? Do you eat them straight out of the freezer? Do you let them thaw? Heat them in the microwave? What's your best tip or trick on the best way to enjoy your Gideon's cookies after you brought them home? Love the show. Thank you.
First of all, round of applause. You did everything absolutely correctly. Just to reiterate, if you are getting Gideon's cookies and bringing them home from your trip, what I always recommend is to split them up. So you have like the ones that you're going to eat fresh over the next 2 or 3 days, leave those out. But everything else you want to freeze as soon as possible to retain the quality and the freshness of the cookie. What I like to do is that I will cut them in different portioned slices. So I'll do kind of bigger chunks. I'll do little chunks if I'm just feeling a little snacky. And then I will wrap all of those chunks up in kind of wax paper, you know, like parchment-y paper. And I will put those in freezer Ziploc bags. And I'll put those in my freezer. I'll write on the bags like what type of cookie it is. Sometimes if I have one of one cookie and one of another and they can fit in the same bag, I'll do like poppy seed on top and like macadamia or whatever on the bottom. Not that I just ate the poppy seed one from a long time ago the other day. It was delicious. Oh, so delicious. So I will wrap those up and I will seal them. I like to cut them in advance so that you don't have to defrost the entire cookie if you just want a little cookie. That has been my way to preserve my Gideon stash for as long as possible. Now, when you take them out of the freezer, your chunk, your whole cookie, whatever you take out, do not microwave them. I do not recommend it. I recommend just letting them sit out and thaw. If you are just having a little bite of a cookie, it will thaw pretty quickly. Like I'll take it out and then I'll go back a little later and I'll have it for dessert that night. But I am not a patient person. So I will also take it out and just immediately start gnawing on it. Like I am a dog with a bone. I can't help it. They're so good. So I don't recommend that method, but it's kind of inevitable. If you have a big old like cookie and cream Gideon's and you just want to get to the bottom of it. Also, I never even talked about, I don't think, that my mom got me Gideon's at Walt Disney World. And she also got me a Gideon's peanut butter cold brew. That peanut butter cold brew is so good. They have it at Disney Springs. Typically, when I'm at Disney World and getting Gideon's, I go through the East End Market one because my last few trips, since I hadn't gone for so long, relatively speaking, I needed to restock my freezer. And so I had to get a bunch of cookies and I did a pre-order, which you can do through East End. You can't do that at Disney Springs. But my mom went to Disney Springs. She got me the peanut butter cold brew. Oh my God, it's so good. There are so many other flavors I can't wait to try, but oh, that one was so good. And don't forget, they have like buttercream frosting dippers, which I quite like. I believe it's peanut butter and marshmallow. I usually get the marshmallow. Whenever I get the peanut butter, I just end up eating the marshmallow. So there's the marshmallow. The marshmallow one's really good. It's all really good. I love Gideon's. I love that you love it too. And yeah, just there's no wrong answer. Just don't put it in the microwave. That's all. Thank you for calling. And if anyone ever has any Gideon's related questions, ring me up at 747-CHARLES because there's nothing I love to talk about more.
Hey, Carly, it's Erin. Apologize for the tenor of this question because I've been a bit ponderous lately. And with all the news that feels good and then after there's that hangover of, wait, what does this really mean? And you know, all of the negative side effects that maybe happen. Do you think the Disney company of today that is hyper-focused on profit margins over customer experience, do you think there is any turning around of the ship, or will they just keep focusing on the people who will, honestly, and myself probably included, continue to open up the wallet to spend increasingly more money to have that Disney magic experience? So are they just going to go for the rich people, or is there like a lesson that people they'll take and, you know, recalibrate away maybe from the infinite growth mindset that seems insane and impossible to maintain or achieve at all? You know, I just feel like we have such emotional stakes in this company, but it's a corporation, and if anything, we've been taught in the past 10, 20 years of our lives, if not all of humanity, that corporations will just simply do what is best for the bottom line no matter what. And I'm just wondering, as somebody who has this emotional stakes, how do you handle the weird feeling of the extreme corporate greed element going on with, honestly, what is an extremely cool company that has just, I wonder if there's a day that the magic dies because it costs too much dang money. And what a waste that will have been, because there are so few things that we care about that hit this many different people, different kinds of people, and for them to squander that emotional real estate would be insane. But wondering what you think as a professional journalist, not that I'm spiraling, not that I work in media, everything is great, infinite growth is totally possible. But also, like, is a Mickey pretzel worth $6.25 or whatever? I don't know. Tell me. And I don't like the cheese on it, so I think that might make it a no. I appreciate all the coverage, and honestly, the outfit details too. Really like your style, and especially finding about like kind of cool brands that are not necessarily fast fashion, because I found out, oops, everything in my closet is fast fashion. So, you know, I'm trying to heal.
Hi, thank you so much for this call and the kind words about my clothing. We're going to talk more about the Disney stuff than clothing, but I appreciate it. I appreciate it nonetheless. So we kind of like allude to this stuff regularly on Very Amusing, but I rarely have the opportunity to answer something like this in full, just in full, because a whole episode of me yapping about business is not going to be very compelling. Because at a certain point, I'm not going to understand terms, and then it's just going to fall off a cliff. But I do want to talk about this because this is something I feel very passionate about as well. Now, on one hand, I need to immediately off the top acknowledge that I am right there with you. It is really upsetting as a Disney Parks fan when you think about the laundry list of little things that used to make these parks so special that have been just kind of unceremoniously stripped away. Casual Main Street entertainment, more frequent parades, Animal Kingdom closing bizarrely early for how much they used to specifically hype and market nighttime in Animal Kingdom. That's weird, right? I mean, we got no Disney's Magical Express, FastPass becoming a multi-tiered paid product, no bag check at your hotel, checking your bags through, oh, with heaven. There's not even like a postcard or a hotel branded pen in your room. And benefits that once existed have disappeared forever. I am still mourning Tables in Wonderland. I miss you so much. I had valet parking for like a month and then they got rid of it. It's the little things. It's the big things. And while we are seeing this everywhere across all businesses, grocery stores, oh my gosh, I went to Target recently. It was so expensive. Hospitality, entertainment, live events, digital products, everything is getting tighter and tighter. I do need to explicitly acknowledge that. So while this is not a Disney specific issue, a lot of this squeeze is happening all around us. This is the market right now, the economy as a whole. But the point remains that Disney is not AMC. They are not Hilton. Publix, Ticketmaster. They are Disney, and they stand apart from other businesses for a reason. And I do believe they are still Disney. They are the leader here for so many reasons. And while a lot of that brand power in experiences is still there, I mean, we're getting unparalleled new stuff at the theme parks. I mean, listen to our D23 episode. There is so much stuff that they just announced. They continue to open new hotels and rides and attractions at a pretty fast clip, considering. They are churning out new cruise ships. They just opened a new island destination. There are new movies and shows, way more shows than we've ever gotten before, and so on and so forth. I do need to say that. But when it comes to parks and their most loyal park goers, they have stripped a lot of the goodwill away from people who visit regularly. And there's even an argument to be made for people who visit infrequently. And I feel like I keep echoing this thesis year after year, but all roads lead back to this idea that Disney parks cannot continue to be more difficult and more expensive. In case you haven't noticed from recent episodes, that's why I'm like kind of in my Disney Cruise Line bag lately. I just can't say enough good things about it. Because when you compare apples to apples, I don't know if this is an apples to oranges situation because they're both Disney product experience. Again, we're going to go apples to apples because that seems better. Also, because there's a new apple like Starbucks latte thing I want to try. Anyway. When you compare apples to apples, you spend X amount of dollars on a Disney vacation. And unlike the layers of planning and stress and schlepping and work and research and booking that come with the parks, here with Disney Cruise Line, you're not leaving it up to chance. So much of your Disney World trip is about leaving it up to chance, even though there are products in place to make sure you don't. You still kind of leave it up to chance. I mean, if you're on a cruise ship, if you want to see Mickey, go downstairs. You want to relax? Go upstairs. It's just that simple. It's so straightforward, but it's simple and straightforward, and it is still so Disney. You get a true Disney experience without having to put in the effort, without any difficulty. And that's why Fastpass Plus and Magic Bands and Disney's Magical Express were so revolutionary, right? Because once you would arrive on property at Disney World, you no longer really had to worry. Don't rent a car. Don't fret about Ubers or Lyfts or taxis. Don't even open your wallet. Everything is taken care of now that you are here at Disney World. And now, to use a benefit that is quite like Fastpass Plus, one that used to guarantee you get to do what you want to do on your vacation well in advance of even stepping foot on Orlando soil, you now do the opposite. Twice. Multiple times, even. You pay and you pay and you pay to ride a few rides at Disney's Hollywood Studios here and Snow White there, and it adds up, both in your wallet, but also in your consciousness, which is really important that we don't discuss enough. It also affects your consciousness, contributing to this feeling, which I think spurred your call, that seems to be rising in a lot of minds of Disney fans. A question that was never there before, for which a seed has now been planted. The question of, is this worth it? Because as we know, the Walt Disney Company is primarily a streaming company now. Listen to any financial call and you'll see how parks are kind of keeping this wheel turning. But you mentioned pretzel pricing. And I want to address that because if you and I are both pressed about pretzel pricing, I, someone who does this for a job, if I feel bad when I buy a churro, a popcorn, these small items, you know, I actually feel bad regularly, and I've talked about this in different episodes. I felt it at Crystal Palace. I felt it paying the bill at California Grill. If you're feeling that, if you're calling into a theme park podcast, and if I'm answering it to this extent, clearly a part of the Disney experience, as we know and as we love, has been eroded. Things are different after the pandemic. A wide generalization, but it remains true because Disney is also different after the pandemic. But generally speaking, Disney does have more affordable times of year to go. They have discount tickets, which at Disneyland, I'm a huge supporter of those. Those are so convenient and so great. I am always hyping those because I think they're fantastic. They have lower cost annual passes. They have promotions. Disney World is doing that huge 2025 promotion. They're like room only and packages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are ways to still have these vacations and to do it at a lower price. But to speak in loose terms, I think your call is reflective of something that we are all feeling, which is this squeeze. Spending closer to $10 than $5 on a pretzel with cheese feels bad. And while that's only a few dollar difference, there are these incremental increases that happen over time. Regardless, The numbers at parks look like they're making a killing. They're just making profit on top of profit. But I do believe that there is this hidden cost, especially among Disney fans, where there's this hidden cost that's more mental, more emotional, that people who have a connection with this brand, unlike any other brand, are feeling. And I don't think that's being tracked as much. The sentiment of the sentimentality, if you will. And again, you look at their numbers and you go, well, it's clearly not stopping people from going. And I do echo that because, as I often say, the market is reflecting that this admission is being priced correctly. People are continuing to pay it. People are paying for Lightning Lanes. So it is, in a way, priced correctly. But this other thing I'm talking about, that feeling, that just kind of internal strife when you're buying a simple box of popcorn, I view that as a long-term problem. I view it as the people who can go to these parks will keep going, but maybe not as frequently as they used to. Maybe some will question if they should go back or if they should try something new, or even maybe try a relaxing vacation for once. Again, I think this is why Disney Cruise Line is just going to keep doing better. I think it's just going to boom. But we are talking about parks. And I think there is a way to fix things, to offer discounts, benefits, things that make us feel like there is more value here. The opposite of that feeling that we get when we buy, what is it, an $8.25 pretzel with cheese. That huge promotion they're running for 2025, saving up to $200 a night on a Disney World vacation package, stuff like that. I think that is fantastic. I do think the tide will turn because Disney is no fool. If they need to make money, they will encourage us to come back in very enticing ways. And I think they know that we are reaching an apex of this issue where people who were diehard Disney Parks people are now deciding if that seed that was planted continues to grow. If the echo of, is this worth it? Continues to reverberate when it comes to planning their trips. Because as complicated as things get, as prices generally continue to increase, I have to fess up. I am still paying them. It is not enough to keep me from going. The joy I get from going to Disney Park is unparalleled. If I could find it somewhere else, the same level for cheaper, I would be there. But the reason we're not, the reason we're listening to a mostly Disney podcast is because we love it. And the experience you get at a Disney park is just, it's more than just physically being there. And if my trips are paired with a little more griping, a little more complaining, and a little more frustration, it doesn't change the fact that I love it there more than anywhere in the world. Really, to love a corporation in 2024 is to suffer. So I do think there is an issue there. I think people feel bad about the pricing. I think there's a lot of feelings that aren't being acknowledged. They feel bad about the changes. And especially when you remember, we used to have so much. And lately, I've been grappling with this too. And I've just been trying to simply view it as things are not the same as they used to be anywhere for anyone. And it's not just my Disney vacation. It really is everything. The hard truth, which I am struggling to accept, but I'm really trying to move through it, is that we are not living in the same world as our 2017 Disney vacations. And that is not because of Disney. We all collectively survived a massive, earth-changing, life-shattering paradigm shift of an event with the pandemic. And we all just moved on like nothing happened. And I think we're often like, why did I spend so much at Target? Speaking for myself, because why did I spend so much at Target? But a lot of these things are just things that are happening after this pandemic that we don't really think about on a daily basis, that all of our lives have changed and everything is different. And this is just indicative of all of that. So while I acknowledge that things are different and it is such a bitter pill to swallow, I do think the next few years are going to be really interesting. And I'm interested in seeing how this works with park goer trends and things like that. I do acknowledge that grappling with this experience of the parks offering less perks and costing more than they used to is extremely frustrating. And justifying a trip here can be more challenging than it used to be. But in the end, like I said at the top, nobody does it like Disney. They're not like any other company. And cruises aside, oh my God, I love a cruise. What a breath of fresh air. Ah! While in the parks, I may just find myself visiting the parks differently. Again, it is a different trip than in 2017. And I am a different person than in 2017. So if I am bothered by the price, there are things I can do to make that easier on myself. Like sometimes I'll find myself saying, I don't need a pretzel today, or I don't need to get a popcorn, which I've done on both coasts, or making certain scheduling decisions based on pricing in a way that I didn't have to before. I will opt out of Lightning Lanes to save money and schedule my trip accordingly. On my last episode at Disney World, you'll notice I did Lightning Lanes one day, and then the other day I did things that I knew wouldn't have longer queues, or no queues at all. I will specifically avoid busier days at busier parks, and except that I can't go on as much, perhaps, because I'll have to spend more if I do. And while that is not the mindset we're used to, that's not the one we'd prefer to just, you know, this old school memory of like wandering around with our free little Fastpass Pluses and just thriving and like eating our popcorn. It is different, and accepting that is tricky. But for me, and this is just for me personally, what I have learned is that it is an unchanged fact that I love it here. These places are special and sacred, and I am obsessed with them. If I could be obsessed with reviewing beaches, I would be, but you know what? A beach is not as fun as a day at Epcot. I'm sorry. These places are better than other places for a reason, and I'm not giving that up anytime soon. I'm just going to channel this energy into working towards navigating my way around this newer version of visiting the parks while loving it all the same. I hope that is helpful. I hope that answered your question. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate you bringing this up because it is something we're all thinking about. And I think that it's changing my mindset towards certain things and visiting the parks in a different way and really accepting that things are different now across the board. It's not just my Disney hotel experience in a bubble. It's me, it's the world, it's everything. I think that has really helped me kind of come to terms with all of this. Again, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I hope that if you go back to Disney, you have a great time. Okay, bye, thanks.
Hey, Carly. This is Holly calling from Orlando, Florida. Oh my gosh, I can't say the word calling. Anyways, I wanted to call and ask you, so my friend Megan called you last year, I think it was last year, to ask about your favorite theme park bathroom. And I know that we all chatted about it afterwards, but I want to know if your opinion of the theme park bathrooms has changed since bringing your baby to the park. And if so, what are your new favorite bathrooms? Or like, what are some bathrooms that you feel really comfortable taking Pearl to take care of her? One of my close friends here in Orlando is pregnant and is going to be having her baby in December. So I want to make sure I'm steering her to the right bathrooms when she has her baby and is ready to take her to the park. Okay. Thank you so much for everything that you do, and have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Okay, so here's the deal. Since having a baby, my brain does not work at the capacity it used to in the past. Just got to acknowledge it. Starting to accept it. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. But I'm absolutely doing my best to come to terms with it. And I am having the most extreme episode of Deja Vu because I could have sworn I answered this call, but I checked the date it came in and I checked recent episodes and I can't find it in the notes. So if I did it, I'm doing it again. And if I haven't, then I'm doing it for the first time and I probably shouldn't have said anything and admitted it publicly. But either way, I am not 100% sure I've answered this, so I am going to answer it. But when I say answer, I feel like there is no real way to do that because these bathrooms be pretty bleak. They're pretty bleak, especially when it comes to changing a kid. A lot of them are very chaotic. Some of them are smaller and don't have a lot of changing space, and it's just a lot of noise. And I feel like I'm almost at the point where my kid's about to be scared of the flushers. And once they're scared of the flusher, I know this from my friend Kelly who called in, that you're supposed to put tape over the sensors so they're not scared of the flusher. I cannot remember to pack anything. So my move has been like to warn Pearl extensively, like the flush is gonna come, it's gonna come. But it happens so much, and I feel like that, the noise, the walking, the hand washing, the blah, the changing, the mirrors, that there's never enough room for people to look in mirrors. People are obsessed with makeup, let them fix their lipstick. Oh my God, I have so much to say about bathrooms. But when it comes to recommending them, I don't have as much to say. I mean, Magic Kingdom, not a lot of options here. I really have no favorites because I'm gonna hold it as long as I can and go to whatever is closest to me because they're all equal in my brain. Now, weirdly, on my last trip, I discovered that the Tom Sawyer bathroom might be the best bathroom at Magic Kingdom. It was so chill because obviously there are less people over there. You have to take a raft vehicle to get there. But it ended up being an ideal diaper changing bathroom. My mom changed Pearl's diaper. I went to the bathroom. And I'll tell you, it was like I went to the bathroom. I was like, wow, this is a real break. I feel like rejuvenated. The bathroom was, I'm pretty sure, deeply air conditioned. Like it was a nice moment in that bathroom. And so if you end up over there, I would definitely try to do your business while you're there. But everything else is chaos. And you know what? That's okay. That's what it's like being at a theme park. And weirdly, I kind of love it. Like, I should think of the tangled bathrooms in Magic Kingdom near Fantasyland and be like, ay, ay, ay. But I kind of love it. That's what I love about these places. There's always so much going on. And there might be some that are hidden gems for kid changing, but listen, I've been there multiple times. I've been there oodles of times by myself, and there is zero bathroom that I've been impressed by thus far. Even once I feel like a little more emotionally closer to the one on Main Street, like when you enter to the left, I'm kind of into that one, but I have no reason to be. It's just a regular old bathroom. Keep in mind, there is the baby care center if you choose towards the front of the park, but again, you got like, it's all chaos. Just lean into it. But it is not the same. Oh, no, no, no. It is not the same over at Epcot because I am choosy over at Epcot. I got my bathrooms and I like to go there. Now, if I'm in the front half of the park, I'm not about to drop some world nature, world whatever names because I can't remember them either. It's totally fine. But the connections bathroom, like where ours, I would call it, the area you cut through past the Starbucks, past the restaurant, when you're walking, you're beelining straight to Guardians of the Galaxy. That bathroom, you know the one I'm talking about, like the left, like right by the restaurant, not on the restaurant side, not the Starbucks side. That bathroom is good. It is a good vibe. I don't know why. It's bright. It's clean. I feel like there are multiple changing tables. I haven't changed Pearl in there yet, but every time I've been in there, I'm like, this is a good bathroom. This is a good bathroom. I like it there. It feels new. It feels fresh. It feels great. Otherwise, I am going to the American Adventure bathroom. I am not going anywhere else in the World Showcase if I don't have to. That one, fantastic. No notes. And I'm just going to say this. It's a really good number two bathroom if you are shy in that arena. Someone had to say it. Listen, it's the advice that you want. I'm going to put it forward. That is a legitimately good bathroom. Oh, my alarm for laundry went off. One moment. Sorry about that. I have this thing where when my clothes come out of the dryer, a few hours later, I'm not putting them away immediately. Please, I'm not a robot. But when they come out, I'll get back to the bathrooms in a sec. But when they come out, I like leave them for a few hours. And then I'm like, oh, are they wet or are they cold? I never know if they're cold from the air conditioning in the house or if they're wet. Our dryer has some issues, so it's usually wet. So I just put it back in again. And that's what that alarm was for. Anyway, at Epcot, that's what I'm choosing. Disney's Hollywood Studios. I really don't have a favorite here either. I also, in case you haven't noticed, I don't go to this park that much. It is my least favorite park. I think I've said that on microphone before. So I'm not often yearning for a bathroom. I know I'm supposed to say like, no, why didn't map it? No, I don't really love any of these bathrooms. However, I do have to give a shout out because my friend Rachel, who was on the podcast previously to talk about Zootopia, Rachel worked on, Rachel worked on the bathroom design in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So for that, I like to go and be like, I'm in Rachel's house, kind of, even though I'm in Florida. So that's nice. Otherwise, no favorites. No favorites here. And in Animal Kingdom, some of those bathrooms, the bathroom over in Africa is like an airport bathroom if they just had 7 planes let out at the same time. I don't know why it is so chaotic. It's so chaotic. I typically go to the bathrooms at the front of the park, like right before you split off the main entrance to go left or right. I like to go to the bathroom there. I find it to be less busy. Even when I'm leaving, like it's not that bad. I really like that one. Otherwise, if I'm going to the bathroom in the park, I will go to the one in Pandora, but not the deep one by Setuli. I'll go to the one by the face painting. I think they still do face painting over there. Like right when you walk into the left, I will hit that bathroom. That bathroom is usually pretty solid. I will try to avoid the Africa one at all costs. It must be the amount of people that come off safari and then go there. There's something traffic-wise happening at that bathroom that does not make a lot of sense to me for someone who played a lot of sim-based games growing up. Like, I played a lot of Roller Coaster Tycoon. I cannot explain the traffic in that bathroom. I should be able to, and yet I cannot. So those are my recommendations, which are also kind of non-recommendations. I'm sorry, but that is what I recommend. Don't forget about the baby care centers and all the parks. You can change diapers there. I just did it at Disneyland. It was like one in, one out, like a nightclub, which I didn't expect. I asked them if that happens typically. They said no. But just keep in mind, you can't bring a stroller in the baby care center for most purposes. So you got to carry them. But yeah, I hope that helps. Love to yap about bathrooms. Hoo boy. And that's all I got. If anybody else has other bathroom thoughts or ones I should be using or where I should go in Disney's Hollywood Studios, let me know. Let me know. I'm all ears. I'm all ears. Hi, it's me again. I'm now just realizing what you said the first thing in your call. I'm glad I said something about my brain being mush, basically being a bowl of chia seed pudding, because you're right. You called in about bathrooms, and then you called about bathrooms for kids, and then I answered both of them in this. I hope that's okay. Listen, I'm doing my best. I love all of you. but I stand behind all my advice. Again, the Epcot one in Connections. Great, that's definitely where I would take someone to change a baby. Otherwise, I would definitely go to American Adventure. Hollywood Studios, it's not gonna be good. I mean, you can like feel the vibe. My friend Rachel's design, and the advice stands for babies. I'm so sorry. I really thought I nailed this one, and then I was like, oh, that's why I had deja vu, because as you said in the call, you called about regular bathrooms earlier. I'm doing my best. I love you all. I'm so sorry. Okay, bye. Oh my gosh, Armoire is back! Armoire is back as a sponsor of the podcast. I know a few of you signed up and are enjoying it, so I am thrilled to discuss them once more, because what a glorious eco-friendly solution to try new clothes and new styles without wasting your money on stuff you'll never wear again. Y'all know I love goofy clothes. I love weird little clothes. But you know why I can't always wear them? Because my closet is missing key pieces. And for me, that's basics. A black skirt, a little black dress, white jeans, cutoff shorts that are more playground than wearing them on vacation. I own none of it. And with Armoire, I was able to test drive every single thing I needed. They've got the goods from designers like Paige and Lily Pulitzer and Tahari. It helped me realize that, yeah, everything I own goes with a cute little black skirt. The one that I test drove was fantastic, and I desperately need to buy one. Oh, and you can low-key buy them from them too. That's because Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe. From cutie little trousers, to kid-friendly fits, to full party-ready looks, with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. You take a quick 5-minute style quiz, select items from this fun personalized closet they build for you, and items show up in as little as 2 days. When you're done, just swap them out and get more new-to-you styles. Also, Armoire is women-founded and women-led, so they understand firsthand why this service is so good. There's no more hemming and hawing at the mall, standing in a dressing room wondering, will I really wear this? Is this worth spending hundreds on? Nah, dude! Armoire is here to basically give you the clueless closet. Just endless options forever and ever and ever and ever. And I know I'm saying a lot about them. I'm saying more than I'm probably supposed to, but I just think they're really great. I just think Armoire is really great. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. $125 off! Just visit armoire.style/amusing. ArmoireStyle/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Carly. It's Cindy from Chicago. I'm cousins with Rebecca, who was on your infamous Disney Bachelorette that started it all. Potentially, she mentioned me once back in the day. I'm her cousin whose bat mitzvah theme was Sydney World. My mom turned the whirly ball dance floor into Cinderella's castle. I love listening to the podcast. It gives me my weekly Disney fix. The reason I'm calling is that we're taking our son, who will be about 9.5 months at the time, to Japan. We're obviously planning to visit Tokyo Disney with one day in Tokyo Disney Sea and one day in Tokyo Disneyland. We recently got back from a trip to Disney World with him, and he's currently 7 months.
We'll be back in Disney World with him in October before we head to Japan in November. While you haven't taken Pearl to Japan and or Tokyo Disney, since you've been there so many times and have a small child, I would love to hear your expert thoughts and advice and what you would do if you were taking her. Will Tokyo Disney be similar to taking a baby to Disney World? Anything and everything you would like to share. Thanks. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Hi! Oh my gosh. Okay, so many things I need to say immediately. Starting with, I can't believe you listened to the podcast. I did not realize this. I adore Rebecca. Rebecca is one of my very best friends from home. People who listen to this podcast know the whole backstory. I went to Disney World, my bachelorette party, and then I like became absolutely obsessed with theme parks and have been for almost a decade now. Oh my gosh, sidebar, a decade. Wild. But I don't know if I've mentioned this a few times, but Rebecca was the one who, when we were in the car on the way to Universal, we did a day at Universal before a weekend at Disney. On the way to Universal, she was like, did you guys know that there are Disney podcasts? And we listened to, I believe we listened to The Diz. So now, for Rebecca to have introduced me to Disney podcasts, for now on the other end of time to be talking into a microphone on my own podcast, and that you called into and you are related to Rebecca is absolutely blowing my mind. Blowing my mind. Okay, I had to get that out first. Second, your bat mitzvah theme, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Thank you for letting me know what I will be doing for Pearl. What I'll be doing for Pearl. Because while all roads for Pearl lead to pizza because of her 314 birthday, I may have to do it. I may have to go full Disney and just make her bat mitzvah that theme. Okay, anyway, to your question and point, thank you so much for calling me. Because first of all, I need to commend you because you took a small child to Disney World and you were like, yeah, I'm gonna do it again, but international styles. And for that, I respect you because there aren't a lot of us. And I think a majority of them are listening to this podcast and are very amusing type people. But a lot of people would be like, that's way too much for me. And I love that you are going for it. I am energized, I am inspired, and I kind of want to piggyback on your trip. But anyway, I think a part of being a theme park expert is to know when your expertise does not apply as much as someone else's would. And for your question, I knew the exact person I had to reach out to. And that person was Tom Bricker. Because Tom Bricker, who you probably know from Disney Tourist Blog, Tom and his wife Sarah had a baby and they recently went to Japan for a while with their kid. I believe it was over a month, somewhere around that. They went for the Fantasy Springs opening. They were there for a while. They traveled and they know the ins and outs of bringing a young one around the same exact age as yours, actually, to Japan. So I reached out to Tom and was like, hey, do you by any chance have some advice that I could give Sydney? And it ends up that when I reached out, Tom was like, I'm actually publishing a blog post on this in a few days. And that blog post, by the time you listen to this, is now out. I will have a link to it in the show notes, but I highly recommend reading that first because Tom will tell you everything you need to know about like diapers and changing stations and buying things there, like any basic stuff you need to know just about being in Japan with a baby when you're coming from America. Tom has got your back and I'm so grateful that he wrote that because it's going to give you all of the main advice you need. But I don't want to leave you empty-handed when it comes to the park, so I am going to give you a few little tips that I know and that I would recommend for you. I don't know if this is your situation, but just in case, it's my understanding that breastfeeding out in the open really isn't as chill over there. But from what I've always heard, the baby care centers are immaculate. So definitely be sure to use those for diaper changes, for feeding, for anything like that, just like you do back in the States. And I've mentioned this in my Tokyo episodes before, but I will just echo it here. Some credit cards can be wonky for paying for like admission-based things, upgrades to skip the line, stuff like that. Just keep that in mind. There is also Wi-Fi at the front of both parks, I believe. I know it's at Disneyland. I'm pretty sure it's at Tokyo DisneySea, but it's not blanketed throughout the entire park like it could be elsewhere. So just make sure you have an eSIM card or a phone plan or something so that you have cell service if that's something you require while you're in the parks, which, I mean, we're all on our phones all the time. Duh. It's something you want. I just want to, in case somebody like doesn't need to be glued to their phone all day, I don't know what that life is like, but I'm a little envious, I will say. Now, lines in Tokyo can be longer than you expect, but especially for stuff like food. And I know you have a younger kid, but the reason I'm stressing this is because I want to make sure that you bring food for you so that you are not taking care of the baby, changing a diaper, sidetracked, overwhelmed, and are like, oh my God, I haven't eaten in 7 hours. I'm going to faint if I don't eat right now. Make sure you have some granola bars, nut snacks, chips, anything in your bag with you so that you can stay fed. Similarly, for caffeine, caffeine for water. It's really easy to get water there. It's very inexpensive. But I just want to make sure you have what you need because you will be in a different foreign environment. And if you parent anything like I do, your needs come last. So make sure when you head to the park, you have what you need in your bag with you so you don't have to wait in a line last minute and then be standing there like so hungry. Oh my gosh, this trip is draining me. Just want to make sure you are all set. And also, one thing Tom did tip me off to, which I don't know if this is going to be in his story or not, but he mentioned that there are different rules for baby wearing or sitting beside your kid on rides slash in their lap, and that you may incur a bit of a language barrier there. So just know in advance, if I was you, I would check when you get in line for a longer line ride. Just be like, oh, can baby sit on my lap? Can I do baby carrier? Find out in advance if you can. Ask the first cast member you see before you load into the vehicle. That might make your trip a little more smooth. I can't wait to hear how it goes. Please call and tell me everything. Please buy so many souvenirs. When I was there, I didn't find much for Pearl. She was, I think, I want to say like 6 or 7 months when I went to Tokyo. I went without her. I went by myself. But I found her a really great Tokyo Disney Sea t-shirt in the gift shop. I'm blanking on the name, but if you walk through like the main area, it's on the left-hand side. I didn't see it anywhere else. I only saw it there. So be sure to go in multiple stores because if you don't see like kids' clothes that you like or like certain things, there are different souvenirs everywhere. Have so much fun. Let me know how it goes. Oh my God, I'm so jealous and I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much for calling and thank you for listening. Hi, I'm back. So at the end of our recent tips and tricks and hacks and Disneyland with babies episodes and all of that, I typically prompt people to, if they have tips or tricks or hacks of their own, to please call in and let us all know so we can all benefit from them. And a bunch of people did and shared such awesome stuff. I'm going to play a few of them right now, but I wanted to thank everyone who called in who we didn't play. Your advice is so helpful. It means a lot. And community is really like the best part of all of this. That's how any of us really know how to do this so successfully. So thank you all for calling. And here are some little tip, trick, hacks, things like that, that hopefully will help you on your next theme park trip.
Hi, Carly. This is Caitlin from Illinois. I just listened to the hacks episode, and I just wanted to kind of add my own on in regards to minivans powered by Lyft. My last trip in 2022, I bought Lyft gift cards, added them onto my app, and I was able to use those to pay for minivans. So it's just an extra way to kind of budget and plan for that extra expense. They're totally worth it, especially for Magic Kingdom. Love listening to the podcast and see you real soon.
You know what's funny is that so often people talk about buying Disney gift cards in advance, doing all these things in advance so that when you get there, you feel like you're not spending actual money because you already paid for it, you already saved, you already got the gift card. You're just kind of playing with like Monopoly fake money, which is genius for when you're on vacation and don't want to think about numbers. Now, sidebar, Disney has kind of eroded that in the sense that you have to pay to upgrade to go on certain rides or skip the line because Fastpass used to be free. But when it comes to this, this is brilliant because I have never, I don't think, heard of people getting Lyft gift cards. I mean, you can get like an Uber gift card, a Lyft gift card to save with any sort of ride share, but specifically for minivan is genius. If you don't use minivan, just know it is the Disney-powered Lyft service with minivans that are Minnie Mouse-themed. Get it? And what's really great about them is that there are a few things, but what's great about them for me is, one, that they have the power to drop you off at the front of Magic Kingdom with no other vehicle can do. There's no other way to get dropped right in the front of Magic Kingdom in the bus turnaround. It is an incredible benefit of using them. But number two, they also have, I believe, one or two car seats in every vehicle. I'm pretty sure they have two car seats in every vehicle, which is really helpful if you are just out and you want to get back or you got to get to Magic Kingdom because you have a reservation, yada, yada, yada. That way you are able to do that without worrying if you have young kids. It is really convenient. It is on the pricier side. I'll dance around it depending on how far you go. But having that gift card in advance, whoo, baby, that'll make it feel like it's free. And asking for a Lyft gift card from like friends or family for the holidays, be like, we're saving up, but we would love if you could contribute to our minivan funds. Like, that's totally legit and that totally works. Brilliant move. Great hack. Thank you so much for calling in with this. Hi, it's me. I'm back. Bloop. I just wanted to fact check what I said 2 seconds ago. So strangely, and I think this is maybe why I had a weird pause in my brain. Strangely, on the official minivan website, it doesn't say that there are two car seats in a standard minivan. However, I preloaded like a fake trip in the Lyft app and it confirms that A standard minivan seats 6 guests and is equipped with 2 car seats. Children under the age of 6 must ride in a car seat. So nothing has changed there. However, weirdly doesn't say it on the website. So if you're wondering, that's what you got to know. However, please do keep in mind, Minivan operates minivan and accessible minivans. The accessible minivans can fit up to 2 mobility vehicles, which, by the way, is pretty cool. Those only have 1 car seat available. Just keep that in mind if you're booking. If you have 2 mobility vehicles, you want to book one of those, but you have 2 kids, you need car seats, keep that in mind. Otherwise, brilliant idea. Minivans make things so easy for certain journeys. Again, I've used those to get to fireworks where it was like, I'm not going to get to see Happily Ever After unless we take a minivan right now. And it's worked out brilliantly. It's worked out brilliantly. So keep it in mind. And also, what a great way to prepay for something without really prepaying for it. Fabulous suggestion. Thank you so much for calling. I love a minivan. I miss Disney World. Okay, bye.
Hi, Carly. This is Kelly from Boston. I just took my 2-year-old on like a 2-week trip, like a crazy person, to Disney World and to Universal back in April. I was actually like a trip over just on WW prep school and talked for like 4 hours, but I heard you mention in your top tips episode, I'm sorry, I'm talking really fast because I'm afraid this will cut me off, that your daughter is running now. And as a parent of like not just a toddler, but specifically of like a runner with a capital R, I just had a couple of tips I wanted to share in case I'm catching you in time before you leave. One is to buy like safety temporary tattoos with your phone number on them. I know you can get ones where you can just write it on. You could just use marker or whatever, but we got ours from this website, safetytat.com. They work super great. They had our information on them. We applied to a new one maybe every other day. It gave me so much peace of mind. Also, I tried to do an air tag, and he just threw it on the ground. So that didn't work. bring your carrier if Pearl will still go in it. But I also specifically got like a ton of use of this $30 crossbody sling carrier. It folds down to like the size of a scarf. I could keep it with me in my bag, but pull it out if I had to hold him for a while, and it kind of kept him from trying to get down as easily. What else? I attached like a duffel bag strap that I got from Amazon to the bottom of my stroller to kind of like hack it into like a baby's on yo-yo one where it comes with a strap. It made it so much easier to carry it onto the bus by myself. I was by myself for some of the trip while my husband worked remotely. So definitely more challenging to do the on and off the bus by yourself, but like that helped a lot because I could hold it a little bit hands-free-ish. Don't be afraid to leash your kid. Lots of kids have them. I guess it's not cute, although honestly it kind of is, but like the parents who get it, you know what I mean? I'm sure I'm about to be cut off, but honestly, text me if you have any ideas or you need any questions or whatever. I'm kind of passionate about the idea of like making Disney more accessible to families of babies and toddlers. Like where else can you take a stroller literally everywhere? And nobody cares if your kid cries in a restaurant. It's like the perfect destination. Anyway, I hope you have the best time. Thank you so much. All right, bye.
Oh my gosh, Kelly, thank you so much for this call, because while I have a young child, I do not have a runner. I would say I have a clinger more than a runner. So this is incredible advice because I have not lived this experience at all. And clearly you have, and you know so much. I'm so grateful for you. I'm sure there are oodles of people who will benefit from this call. Again, thank you. Thank you. And I do feel like this will happen eventually for me when Pearl is a little older. So I'm grateful to have the advice as well. Thank you so much. This was invaluable. Oh my gosh. Wow. You're a genius. Thank you.
Hey, Carly. Just thinking of theme park hacks. And my favorite that applies probably to a slim number of people, but I was going to nail school out in Garden Grove, California, very close to Anaheim, and I would wrap up at 10 p.m. And sometimes when I was feeling particularly energetic, I would then head to the park for the last couple hours of the day and, just soak up some of that magic. At a certain point, not exactly sure what the exact number is, but Disneyland does not staff the parking lots. At least Toy Story, that's where I park. At a certain point, you just drive through and you can park for free. So if you have an annual pass, that certainly takes us back to the good old days where you could just kind of buzz up and it wasn't like, okay, I'm spending $30 just to park my car. So there's a little bit more of an investment. So for anyone who lives nearby or is a late night, night owl type person, usually 9 p.m. and on, pretty much free parking. So there you go. That's my tip. Thank you for everything, and stay listening. All right, bye.
This is a really great point because I don't go to Disneyland late anymore. I'm usually a during the day type of girly. But lately when I'm at Disney World, because of the time change and Pearl's bedtime, et cetera, yada, yada, I keep going to theme parks right before closing, like an hour or two before closing. And we just breeze right through. And I mean, I have parking at Disney World with my AP, but I forget that this can also be true at Disneyland. Now, generally the consensus is that about an hour, maybe 2 hours before park closure, you may get lucky and be able to drive in without having to pay for parking. It is not always true. It is just anecdotally, it happens. I can't say officially, otherwise it'll be like, you'll pull in an hour before and be like, why am I paying for parking? But just keep in mind that this is an option. If you just want to do a quick little late night jaunt to a park on either coast, you won't have to pay parking if you arrive very close to the closing time. And remember, if you're like in line for a ride at closing time, and fireworks are usually closing time, entertainment can be towards closing time, there is a lot to do around then. So great tip. Definitely keep it in mind. Don't bank on it. Sometimes there'll be people there. If you're there on like a weekend, randomly, there'll be people and you'll be like, no, but it is a great tip. Thank you so much for calling. And yes, I forgot to mention this. So helpful.
Hey Carly, it's Kelly. I am listening to your hacks episode and thought I would share mine. If you by chance bring one of those huge Stanley cups that have become very popular to Epcot, you can go into Connections and fill the bottom part with ice. And then as you drink around the world, you can conveniently just put that plastic cup on top of the ice and your drink will stay cold and you can put the lid on and be able to take it wherever you would be able to take a Stanley cup without them realizing that it has possibly an adult beverage inside. That has become my go-to because I have no tolerance and it takes me a very long time to finish a drink. And so this way I can just keep it cold without watering it down in the cup kind of indefinitely and can take it with me as needed. Hope that helps someone. Bye.
There are two types of people in this world. Ones who listen to this and go, that's too much work. And ones who go, that is genius. And I strongly believe that we are in the second category over here on Very Amusing. Now, this is my friend Kelly who called in. I think this is brilliant because this solves a problem that like you only think about in real time when you're in the theme parks. Otherwise, you're like, no, there's ice there, I'm fine. But this is brilliant, especially for if you don't drink very quickly, which I don't do either. This can absolutely preserve whatever drink you get at a festival, alcoholic, non-alcoholic, it'll just save it and keep it pure. Now, I reached out to Kelly and I clarified that you can indeed fit the entire cup in there and then the lid on top. A genius among us. I don't believe you can drink out of the straw when you're doing that, but listen, if you're like going on a ride, you want to have your drink for after, or if you have a stroller situation, you want to leave it there and come back to it and have it be fresh and cool, especially considering it is so hot all the time there now. Wow, brilliant. Thank you, Kelly, for this. I love this tip. Oh, I love this so much. Thank you, Kelly. Big news, party people. I am officially launching a long-term partnership with MEI Travel and its specialty division, Mouse Fan Travel. I'm obsessed with making sure you have the best theme park vacation possible, and so are they. Mouse Fan Travel, a division of MEI Travel, specializes in all things Disney, Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, all of it. And MEI Travel can help curate vacations with all major cruise lines and vacation destinations around the globe. Mouse Fan Travel is a no-fee Disney earmarked agency, which means they will handle booking your entire trip, no matter where you go, no matter what you want to do. They will help you plan it absolutely for free. For free! There really is no disadvantage to working with these expert vacation planners. Did you know they have a hotline where if something goes wrong and you're traveling, you'll have someone to call? Or that if you book a Disneyland or Disney World vacation and your room drops in price, they will get you money back? Travel agents are amazing! Disney World just announced some incredible promotions for 2025. You can save up to $200 per night with a room and ticket package, and up to 25% off hotel rooms on select nights through April. Which means it's the perfect time to reach out to Mouse Fan Travel for a free quote on your future trip. If you want to take advantage of having a new vacation booking bestie, head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. That's mousefantravel.com/amusing. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to our first episode recorded standing up! Can you tell? Feel like there's a different energy in the air. I wonder if I'm like closer or further from the mic. Ooh, I hope it didn't cause Jeff more work. I don't know how his job works, but I'm very thankful for him. He is the best. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-TRUES as evidenced by this episode. Send us a voice note or email it to 747-TRUES@gmail.com. You can grab Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. And no, I have not gotten the kids' shirts for Pearl yet. Why am I dragging my feet? I keep forgetting. Every week I'm like, oh, right. We made kids' shirts and I'm now someone who has a kid. I should get those. And yet I keep forgetting. But if you want to dress up your kid in honor of your favorite podcast or just like, you know, leave a little hint at the like parent tot group that your kid is a joy to have around in a Very Amusing tea, I'll allow it. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel on all the internet things and join the FOMALY. Oh, I love the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. For 99 cents a month, you can subscribe to my Instagram. I'm posting on there almost every day at this point. It's like I basically post half my stories publicly and half my stories to subscribers. It is fun. I love our little crew over there. It's like having a group chat within Instagram. It's really, really nice. 99 cents a month. I know there are some issues with subscriptions. I'm trying to figure it out. Honestly, I saw someone in a mom group the other day who had a meta bag, and I was like, okay, I may have to ask this stranger if they can help me with the subscription issues. I'm doing it for you all. I'm doing it for you. There are people who want to subscribe and can't. There's something on the back end. There's a thread about it in the FOMALY. I was gonna say my Facebook group, but y'all know what it is, the FOMALY. So if you're having any issues, check that out. But otherwise, if you are able to join subscribers, 99 cents a month, would love to have you. This episode was edited beleagueredly by Jeff Fox. I think you can use that word that way. Google seems to say so, I think. Beleagueredly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I love this episode. How can I not say a ton of stuff? Everything was so good. Okay, our drive from the ship to Palm Beach was quick and fun. The mall was everything. I was so surprised. It was so wonderful. Yes, the tuna sandwich was so good, but the Stony Clover Lane store was amazing. Pearl was trying out all these purses. I was dying. She was delightful. She had so much fun in that store. And on the way out, I did check out this red patent leather, huge extra size fanny pack. Oh, my God, I loved it. But I wanted it in black, and they didn't have it in black. So I might have to make a call and see if they can get it. I loved it. It was beautiful. Okay, back to work. You said the drive was boring. Boring? I wasn't bored at all. I was very busy in the back seat reading and playing with Pearl and trying not to get nauseated. Okay, it wasn't boring at all. Because you're a great driver. It's nothing to do with your driving. But sitting sideways reading books made me a little bit dizzy. All right, then we get to the DVC rental. It was so good. It was so clean. And my own room. That was the best part. It was wonderful. Okay, taking Pearl to California Grill alone sounds great. I mean, you had a great time. But Pearl sits and eats. She is so good at the table. She dresses up. She looks like this fancy little girl. She's so ready for it. She sat in the ship every night, patiently eating and enjoying. She's an amazing child. Okay. Soren, so you got me this lightning skipper lane something, whatever you did. And I was so excited to go on Soren, and I was going by myself that I completely forgot from where you were standing to where I walked in. I forgot to tell them about the lightning thing. So I went in, and like 20 minutes later, I called you. I'm like, this is not a fast lane. I don't know what's going on. I was in the regular lane. So it took a little while, but it was so good. I love Storm so much. It was wonderful. Nine Dragons Restaurant, it was great. The food was great. But a mini meltdown occurred. It was getting late. It was time to go to bed. But the restaurant was empty, so I was able to walk her around and let her run around, and it was great. And we went home, and it was just a great night. Tom Sawyer Island was so much fun, and I'm really sad that's going away. That was my first time there. I didn't even know about it. So that was kind of fun. We're taking this boat, and like 10 seconds later, we're there. I'm like, what happened to the boat ride? But it was so much fun. And then we saw together the Electrical Water Parade light show from my room while Pearly was sleeping. And I had so much fun alone with you. We're giggling and going through each other's pictures and laughing and hanging out. It was like a little slumber party. That was so wonderful. It was a great trip. I had the best time. I hated to say goodbye. I cried the whole little train ride till I got to my little plane. So I just hate leaving you. I hate saying goodbye. But it was a wonderful trip, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This was just great, and I was able to teach Pearly a new word up. I was so excited. So it was wonderful. I love you so much.